We're on Daf Samachayim in Beis, and we're actually up to Rabbi Hanina ben Bar Yosef, but we're going to go back to Reish Lakish, and the Gemara tells us a story about Reish Lakish and the Talmidim of Rabbi Hanina, and they came to a certain inn, and there were two Jewish families that shared a chatzer, and there was a non-Jewish family, representing his family, and he was renting out space from a non-Jew. So we had what's called the socher and the maskir. And the socher is the renter, and the person who's renting, rentee, I guess you'd say, and the maskir is the owner of the house. And the socher himself is nowhere to be found. He went away for Shabbos. And the question is whether the two Jewish families can rely on an Erev to carry from their homes respectively into the chatzer in the absence of the nochri. Now, the question that came up was, Ma'u l'meger minei? Can they set up a rental agreement with the maskir, the owner? So the owner is available, and the socher is not available. And the Gemara says it depends on the nature of the rental agreement between the maskir and the socher, meaning it depends on the legalities in the relationship between the maskir and the socher. And there are two types of legal, arrangements. There's one legal arrangement where the maskir can say to the socher, look, you've been living in my house for 6 months, I want you out, so that the landlord can get rid of his tenant after 6 months, even though he had officially rented it for 12 months, and he says, look, you know, we'll prorate it, and you'll pay me for 6 months' rent. There's another kind of arrangement where the maskir has no rights whatsoever to terminate the rental agreement. He agreed from the get-go to 12 months of rent. He cannot throw the tenant out onto the streets. So Rav Reish Lakish said the following. In the absence of the socher, and the maskir is here locally, can we get the maskir to agree to rent out his rights in the chatzer, which would then validate our eruv? And the Gemara came to the conclusion, the answer would depend upon what kind of an arrangement the maskir had with the socher. If it's a situation where the maskir could get rid of the socher, he can tell the tenant, 24 hours notice, pack your bags, you're out of here, then the maskir is still considered the balabayas, even though officially he rented it out to someone. But the theoretical legal rights that he has to terminate the rental agreement, meaning to tell the renter, you know, the rentee, if you could call that, to pack his bags, that gives him the status of an owner. And if he owns, he could enter into a schiris agreement, and that would validate the eruv. So, Steve, that was just to sort of keep you up to date on what you missed yesterday. And the final maskana of the sugya was that Reish Lakish instructed them to set up this schiris arrangement with the maskir in the absence of the socher. And they relied on that, let's call it Safek Lakula, even though they didn't know exactly how to define the arrangement between the maskir and the socher. And they decided that for that Shabbos, they'll be Mekil, and they'll carry out from the Bais into the Chatzer, and then when they get to the Chachamim Shebedorom, that's where the great scholars were in the south, they'll ask their opinion. And the Gemara says that when they ask their opinion, is Rav Afis said, Yofa sisem shesachartem, you did a good thing, what you did was absolutely right, and halachically it was valid, and I'm so glad that you had a rental agreement with the maskir, which allowed your eruv to be valid. Okay, so now we're going to start the new Gemara for today, and let's just make sure we have the place. So we're up to Rabbi Chanina. If you count up from the bottom of Daf Samachayim in Beis, approximately 11 lines. Let's count to 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 lines up from the bottom. Rabbi Chanina, Bar Yosef, Rab Chia, Bar Abba, Rab Asi, these three gigantic scholars, Iklu, they found themselves, Lahu Funduk, at a certain inn, and the owner of the inn was a non-Jew, and he was nowhere to be found for the course of Shabbos, so that even though the non-Jew shared use of the courtyard, and now the question is whether these three rabbis who were now staying at the inn, they were guests at the inn, whether they could carry from their homes out into the common courtyard. So they made an Eruv. And why did they make an Eruv amongst themselves? Because the owner, the Nachri, was out of town for Shabbos. However, the story becomes more complicated because the Asa Nachri married the Funduk b'Shabbos. It turns out that this guy, who owns the rights to use the Chatzer, and therefore he would undermine their Eruv, he shows up on Shabbos. Amru. Amru means they vacillate. Ma'ul meger mine. Can we set up a rental agreement from the Nachri on Shabbos itself? Such that, just like until this moment when he returned, let's say at 12 noon on Shabbos afternoon, they were carrying from their homes respectively, from their apartments or their hotel rooms, we'll call it, out into the chutz, and now they could continue to do so because they'll set up this kind of a rental agreement. Now, there are a number of issues here that have to be addressed. One of them is that we don't sign rental agreements on Shabbos, obviously. And even if there would be no need for a signature, still we avoid what's called mekach u'memkar, any business dealings on Shabbos. That's despite all the cynical jokes that you're familiar with. You know, he comes back to him already in the morning, he says, too late, it's sold already. But the issue here is not only the question of mekach u'memkar on Shabbos, but the question is, would this schiris itself, even if they were allowed to achieve it, would that permit them to carry from their homes out to the chotzer? Because we have a rule called Ein Ma'arvin B'Shabbos. We cannot set up an Erev on Shabbos. An Erev has to be set up before Shabbos. Now, in this case, the Erev was set up before Shabbos, but the moment the guy comes back from his vacation in the middle of Shabbos, the Erev is completely batel. Now, in effect, by signing or setting up some sort of a rental agreement with the guy, the Nachri who returns on Shabbos from his vacation, we are now validating an Eruv which a second ago was totally invalid. Why? Because when the Nachri returns, he now invalidates the Eruv. And we can't create a new Erev on Shabbos. So even if I grant you that we can circumvent all the issues about Mekach u'Memkar and we could set up this rental agreement on Shabbos, but nevertheless we can't create an Erev on Shabbos. So by removing the Nachri through a contractual Schirus, we now have three Jews sharing one single courtyard. They need an Erev. Ah, you'll tell me, but Erev Shabbos they had an Erev. Well, that Erev is history. It's gone. Because the very moment that the Nachri returned, he owned his portion of the Chatzer before he left for a vacation. Now he returns from vacation. His ownership now will undermine and torpedo the validity of the Erev And we have a principle called Ein Ma'arvin B'Shabbos. So therefore, the Gemara is asking, and the Chachamim who were there, those three greats who are vacillating about this question, that when the Nachri comes back home, and the Erev is now Batel, it's very possible that they can no longer set up an Eruv and validate an Eruv, even if they could sort of neutralize the Nachri by having the Nachri agree to some sort of rental agreement. Nevertheless, they cannot create an Eruv, because Ein Ma'arvin B'Shabbos. So Rashi wants to explain to us what was the tzad, the possibility that this could be effective, and through the Schiris they would be able to, in fact, they would be permitted to carry from their homes out to the Chotzer. We have a principle called Ein Ma'arvin B'Shabbos. So Rashi learns that what's going to happen here, once the Nachri is, so to speak, neutralized, meaning he no longer is a factor because he agrees to the Schiris, we don't need an Eruv. Well, that's not really so, but at least two out of three of these people will need an Erev, but one doesn't need an Erev. What does that mean? You remember a concept that we learned back on Daf Samach Gimel, which was called Bittul Rishus. So if you have three Jews that share a Chotzer, or for that matter, we have the case back then of five Jews that share a Chotzer, four out of five of them can be Mavatal their Rishus to one of the five. And at least that one of the five will be allowed to carry from the houses into the Chotzer. Why? Because he now takes over the other four houses. Now we have to emphasize again that we're not dealing with Mekach u'Memkar. And why is that? These are not legal arrangements from the perspective of what we call Choshen Mishpat, Jewish monetary law. These are arrangements that are limited to and relative to the laws of Erevin. So for example, in this case of Schirus, if we get the guy to agree to a Schirus, it doesn't have to be a formal, legally binding Schirus with a shtar and with signatures. He just has to make a statement that, you know, you'll pay me after Shabbos for your full rights to use the chotzer. I'm out of here. And the Jews, let's say there's Reuven, Shimon, and Levi, Reuven and Shimon will say, we are mevatel arishus to you, Levi. There's no formal kinyan, no shtar, no dag, no legal signature, nothing. It's just an effective method called Bittul Rishus that works relative to this circumscribed area of halacha called Erevin. So in Hilchus Erevin, it's a kind of Bittul Rishus. It would not qualify as a Bittul Rishus in Hilchus Mekach u'Memkar. So let's say, for example, Reuven and Shimon would walk into the, you know, to their, you know, their homes and so forth and so on, that they were Vatul Rishus. We wouldn't call them gazlanim. They're not thieves. It's only, if you want to call it, a legal method that operates within the rules of Erevin. So therefore there's no Chil Shabbos involved. And these great Moroim, let's just review the names, Rabbi Hanina, Rabbi Chia, and Rabbi Asi, they were all vacillating about the possibility that now Reuven and Shimon, two out of the three Jews, let's say, would be Mavata Lerishus to Levi, and then at least Levi would gain that he could now carry out into the Chotzer, because they, meaning Reuven and Shimon, were mevatel their rishus for Levi. That is Rashi's interpretation of this Gemara. So again, you know, in one sense, it's true that the Eruv, when the guy comes back, is now invalidated. And it's also true you can't create an Eruv on Shabbos. But what you could do is, you could get the guy to agree to Schirus. You know, you pay him off after Shabbos. Now the guy is out of the picture. And now we're back to the need for an Eruv. And instead of an Eruv, what we're going to have as a substitute is at least Bittul Rishus. And according to Rashi, Bittul Rishus here would at least salvage the possibility that Levi, to whom Reuven and Shimon had been Mevatel Rishus, he would be allowed to carry out into the Chutz. And it seems that Tosfos is not 100% happy here, because Tosfos thinks that if you have Bittul Rishus, which Rashi is activating and applying here in this context, then you don't need Schirus. And the reason for that is something that we touched upon earlier, way back on Daf Samach Gimel, is that now it becomes one Jew with one Nachri. And we paskin like Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, that the requirement of Schirus to get the guy to agree to a rental agreement, that's only if you have two Jews that want to carry out to the chutzah with the one guy. And then the guy is a barrier, and he blockades the possibility of the two Jews setting up an Eruv, unless he agrees to Schirus. But if there's Bittul Rishus, says Tosus, and that's what Rashi is operating with here, then there's really only one Rishus of Yisrael, and that's, we'll call him Levi, right? So Reuven Shimon Mevatel Rishus to Levi, and now we have Levi basically as Rishus together with this guy. And in that case, one Yisrael and one guy, you don't even need an Eruv. I didn't say it as strong as I should have said it. Let's go beyond it. You don't even need Schirus. I mean, the Gemara is saying that you need Schirus. Well, Schirus is only a requirement if you have two Jewish families sharing a common chutzah with one Goyish family. But here, you don't have two Jews because the Jews were mevatel rishus in this case, I called it the third party. Is therefore, im according to Rashi, im hutzrichu levatel rishusam legabi echad mehem, maduah hutzrichu leschirus. Harei li el nemar, shekasha mevatlin b'nei achotzes rishusam li echad mehem, harei ze nase yochid b'mokom nochri, v'yena nochri oser olav, v'yena tzarech liskar mehem. So for this, you know, we'd really have to go back to the sugya there on Daf Samach Gimel. There was a halamin in the Gemara, there was a maskon in the Gemara. The impression you get is that the maskon of the Gemara is that bittul is not efficient to make the rishus here as if it was a rishus of one yachid, of one individual, such that, you know, we don't care about the goy, we don't need the sirus of the goy. So that was the debate, if I remember correctly, between Abai Verava and whether or not through Bittul Rishus we might forget the whole Torah's Erevin. And that was a long sugya there. Now Tosus says the following: Li olam ein bittul yachid goreim la soso yachid b'makom nachri. He says that we should conclude that bittul, with all due respect, when, let's say, Reuven and Shimon are mevatel for the sake of a yachid, for the sake of Levi, that's not enough to cause a situation of, quote, yachid bimkom nachri. And again, that depends upon the maskon of that gemara there. Rava says he doesn't want to be that tisbatel toris eruv, you know, they're going to forget about the whole institution of eruv. And Tosus offers an alternative possibility that our sugi here is going like Rabbi Meir. And Rabbi Meir holds that Nachri is Oser Afil B'Yisrael Yachid. So that even after Bittul Rishus, which means that there's only one Yisrael left who has Rishus over this Chatzer, nevertheless one Yisrael together with one Goy, according to Rabbi Meir, is enough to undermine the Eruv, and therefore will need the Schiris of the Goy. Okay, so now the Gemara is going to analyze the two tzadim that the Amoraim were vacillating about. The first side is that socher kima'ariv domi, ma'ariv mibodjom af socher mibodjom, that this schiris agreement, which is now going to validate the eruv, should have the same din as an eruv itself. Right? Because now that the guy came back from his vacation midday on Shabbos, and that undermines and neutralizes the eruv that they made, then if schirus will resurrect the eruv, so to speak, then the schirus itself should have the same status and be governed by the same restrictions as the eruv. And the restriction that governs eruv is that the eruv has to be on erev Shabbos, not on Shabbos itself. Oh, Dilma, what was the other tzad to say that now the schirus would be effective? Socher ki mevatel rishus domi. Ma mevatel rishus afilu b'Shabbos, af socher afilu b'Shabbos. We should not identify, or shall I say, upgrade the status of schirus to that of eruv and equate it with an eruv, but rather it's similar to a bittul rishus. And bittul rishus, as we said before, is something that can happen on Shabbos itself, because basically bittul rishus obviates the need for an eruv. It's not an eruv, but it means that there's only one person, and therefore he doesn't need an Erev Chatzeres. Erev Chatzeres means when you're Osir on me and I'm Osir on you, we need to join forces. But if you already Mavati Yishus to me, for example, then I represent a sole individual right to the Chatz. I have exclusive rights to the Chatz, and therefore there's no need for an Erev. So that Bittul Rishus is okay on Shabbos, not because you can have an Erev on Shabbos, that you cannot, but because you obviate, you circumvent the whole need for an Erev. And that's what Socher is. Socher really is not an Erev per se. No. We'll have Bittul Rishus. We don't need an Erev. What we need is to get rid of the Shus of the God. And that could happen on Shabbos in no way different than Bittul Rishus in the case of Yisrael. You have two Jews, and they share the same chatzah. They did not make an Erev before Shabbos. What they can do is that one of the two Jews will be Mevatel's Rishus to the other Jew. And that will obviate the need for an Erev. Here also, through the Schirus, we obviate the need for an Erev. Why? Because we have Bittul Rishus, and Bittul Rishus itself is reliable to be Matir Hotzah Mina Bayis El HaChatzer, and we don't need an Erev. So that if schirus is a method in which we can validate the bittul rishus and activate it such that it now permits hotzah from the bayis to the chatz, at least in the case of the person to whom they were mevatel rishus, or in favor of whom they were mevatel their rishus, then schirus likewise is only a way of allowing for bittul rishus to operate. We're not in any way validating the eruv, according to the second side. So the first side is that although we're not actually directly validating the eruv, but we're making it possible for the bittul rishus to operate as a replacement for an eruv, and in that sense the schirus should be taken very seriously and upgraded to the status of an eruv. And therefore there's no possibility of setting up this schirus arrangement on Shabbos itself. Oh, Dilma, shall we say no? There's no reason to equate schirus with an eruv, because in this situation we're not operating with eruv, we're operating with bittul rishus. And just like bittul rishus is okay on Shabbos, so too schirus, in the case of a goy, should be okay on Shabbos. Again, as I emphasized before, that's because schirus here in this context is an eruv in halacha, rather than a mekach u'memkar halacha. Now, I'm just trying to see here if I can find anyone who says what we said. Just one second. Oh, he says, V'ein, he's quoting the Tosa Rosh, V'ein lesar schirus b'Shabbos, mishum shidomeh lemekachu memkar. He says that, isn't this a barter agreement? It's like a sale. The guy is going to give you rights to use the chatz, so he's going to expect something in return. Yeah, he's not just doing this gratis. and hence it becomes a subcategory of mekach u'memkar, of a sale, which is prohibited on Shabbos. How are we allowing the schiris on Shabbos? And the Tosa Rush answers, she'ena el kematana bi'alma. Just like a gift doesn't require mekach u'memkar, you know, some sort of barter. I'll pay you this, and you'll give me that, or I'll transfer ownership to you on this, and you'll pay me that. That doesn't exist in the case of matana. Matana means I'm just giving you something. I invite you to my as a guest in my house on Shabbos. So my wife puts out a plate of food in front of me. I mean, why isn't that mekach u'memkar? I mean, you didn't own the food. The answer is that it's a matana. Eat my food, that's all. It's not mekach u'memkar. I'm not asking for anything in return. Here also, how can we say that the schirus is like a matana if the guy is expecting something in return? He's not just in a very magnanimous mood and he's allowing you gratis to use the chutz. He expects to be reimbursed for that. That should be mekach u'memkar, says the Tosa Rush. She'eno konishum davar. We are not acquiring anything from the good. Lefi she'eno nasis ela kidei lahatir es hotza. I honestly believe that Tosa Rush is saying what we said before. I mean, maybe our language is a little more flowery in a sense, a little bit more conceptual and sophisticated, but he's basically saying that this is not a kinyan. He's not kone anybody's reshus. You know, you're not acquiring on. You know, let's say after the guy agreed that you know the Jew could use the chatzer, would the guy be able to sue for payment? Or let's say, for example, if a free, you know, something hefker would fall into the chatzer, so it would not, the ownership would not accrue to the guy. And we're not talking about nasei shalo. We're not talking about that he is kona something, or in this case that the Jew is kona something from the guy. There's no kinyan here. This is not Torah's kinyan. This is only an action that's being done to the matir hotzah. I'll give you an example. Again, I don't want to get off on a tangent, but bittul chametz. So let's say, for example, Shabbos would fall out on a Friday. Would you be allowed to be mevatel your chametz on Erev Pesach, which happens to be Shabbos, because Shabbos is the 14th of Nisan in this case, and we don't make kinyanim on Shabbos? But the answer is that bittul is not a kinyan. Bittul is there just to remove the isur, the prohibition of bal yirah by imatzi. Rotzeh b'kiyumo. You know, he wants his chametz. No, I don't want my chametz. My chametz is like the dust of the earth in my eyes. That's a statement which is not legal in choshe mishpat measuring terms. It's legal in arachayim, meaning in the halachas of bal yirah by imatzi of chametz and Pesach. Here also, we have a simon in arachayim called Hilchas Erevin. And Hilchas Erevin, we have Erev Chatzeros. And I want to make an Erev Chatzeros so that I can carry out into my Chatzer. So I need to get rid of the guy, because he has ownership here in the same token that I do in this Chatzer. So I do this kind of a Schirus operation, but it's not a Kenyan. It's not valid from the perspective of Choshen Mishpah. And I think we could say the same and apply the same logic of the Tosa Rush to the case of Bittul Rishus, which we said is okay as mutar on Shabbos. Why isn't it a violation of kinyanim and mekach u'memkar? The answer is we're not dealing with Torah's kinyanim here. Bittul Rishus is halacha that operates in Hilchas Erevin to allow hatzah. Okay. Now, what happened at the end of the story after these three great Amoraim landed in an achsanya and they vacillated back and forth whether or not they can enter into this relationship of Schirus? And the Gemara says Rabbi Hanina Bar Yosef Amar Niskar, his opinion was that we should be renting space from the guy when he came back. Right, Rav Asi Omar lo niskar. We can't do this. It has to be done mibojom, because just like an Erev is mibojom, the Schiris also has to be likewise mibojom. Amalu Rav Chiya bar Abba, he was the third of the trio of the Amoraim. Nismach al divrei zaken v'niskar. Let's rely on Rabbi Chanina. He was like the umpire here. The Kosev Ashlishi Sheachriya Beinayim. And he said, you know what, we're going to rely on Rabbi Chanina. He's enough of a Zaken. Zaken here means he's a Chacham, he's a scholar. And we'll rent it out. And then later on, we'll check out and see if the consensus of opinion will support us. Asu Shaili Le Rabbi Yochanan. Later on, they asked Rabbi Yochanan. He was considered the Gadol Ador. And did we do the right thing? Amar Lahem, so Rabbi Yochanan responded, and here we're on Samach Vavam, and Alf Yofa Sisim Shesachart. And this was a good move on your part. And the Schiris is effective, or was effective, I should say, in allowing you to carry out into the Chatzer. And we have to add another element into the equation, and that is that the two out of the three of the Chachamim here were Chazru u'bitlu es reshusam klapi echad mehem. In other words, Schiris would not be effective without bitl reshus, because Schiris is only going to get rid of the guy from this picture, but you can't make an Erev on Shabbos, so you're going to have to implement, or shall I say, activate the principle of bitl reshus. Now, later on, the Gemara is going to explain that Shmuel disagrees with Rabbi Yochanan. So right now, we're holding like Rabbi Yochanan. Then he writes here in the footnote, Kosav HaRitva, She'efshesh lohutar liskar b'shabes el bi'ofen ha'omer b'sugya, She'lohoya ha'nochri b'beiso me'erv Shabbos, V'lo yochlu liskar b'menu, Aval im hoya ha'nochri b'beiso me'erv Shabbos, Yochlu liskar b'menu, Ein sochri b'menu b'shabes. So the Tva comes up with a Gevaldige Chiddush here. I don't know if I intuitively identify with this Chiddush, but conceptually, it's a very powerful breakthrough. And in order to put this Ritva into a broader perspective, if you'll allow me, I'll give you a little bit of a background. There's something called Hutra and something called Dechuya. Hutra means that under certain circumstances, you're allowed to do this on Shabbos without any compunctions, without any hesitations, without any strings attached or rules or regulations. You know, you want to drive your wife to give birth on Shabbos in the hospital, hutra. She's in a dangerous situation, the fetus has to be born, just fly. You know, don't start looking about, you know, doing this and doing that and trying to. You're a sick person and the doctor says you have to eat on Yom Kippur. We'll see, by the way, when we get to Yom Kippur about corona patients. This whole discussion about eating on Yom Kippur is going to be very relevant this year, I'm afraid. Because even if the tide, you know, changes and turns the other way, but nevertheless, we have so many people who are suffering from corona here and all over the world that Yom Kippur is going to be a real issue. But once we paskin that you're a chole and your life could be endangered by fasting, especially by dehydration, by the way, the lack of liquid, so then, drink away. That's called the hutra. Then there's something called the chuya. The chuya means that we think possibly, maybe if you fast, it will create a situation where you'll become a cholish yesh bo sakana. So really you're a cholish yesh bo sakana, but if you fast, the doctor thinks there's an X number of possibility, a very minimum statistic that you might have to break your fast because you might get sick. So that's a different, then that's already dechuya. Dechuya means, you know, see if you can get a guy to do it for you, eat small amounts, it's more at 9 minutes apart, you know, the whole business. So the Ritva wants to claim that when our Gemara allows schirus, and that seems to be the final conclusion of Rabbi Yochanan, who agreed with what the rabbis had finally done in that case in the inn, that's dechuya. Again, the Ritva is not using the word dechuya. I'm just using that because conceptually I think that terminology is the right conceptual terminology. Dechuya. Says the Ritva, Where was this guy on Erev Shabbos? When did he pack out to his vacation home, you know, to his lake house, to go fishing for the weekend? If he did it on Friday, you had no choice. There was no way that you can get up a schiris relationship. Now he shows up on Saturday afternoon. Go ahead and agree on a schiris if you can only get him on board and convince him to the schiris. But if he left, just 1 second. So what did I say? Oh, sorry, I made a mistake. I said if he left on Friday. Let me correct myself. He left on Sunday. He left on Thursday. I don't know, he left early in the week. But if, on the other hand, says the Ritva, he left on Friday, and on Friday you could have easily have approached him to create that tzchiris, you're required to do so. Don't postpone it until he shows up on Saturday afternoon, you know, he comes in with the train. Do it on Erev Shabbos. Why? Because the allowance, the permission to enter into the tzchiris agreement on Shabbos is dechuya. Dechuya means, you know, we're going to allow it for the better good. And in this case, the ends justify the means. But it's not something that, you know, we would relish doing l'chatchila. If all things were equal and ideal, you should have had the schiris arrangement organized on Erev Shabbos. And that's what you should do. Now, alternatively, it could be the Ritva is saying something totally different. The Ritva might be saying that the reason why this schirus on Shabbos is the last, you know, the last straw, this is, you know, this is the only possibility, but it's not really the ideal, and what inhibits the Ritva about this arrangement is that the Erev was batel the very moment that the guy showed up on that train, and at 12 noon he says, Ich bin du, I'm here, and the Erev is batel. So now we need a schirus that'll sort of substitute for the Erev together with the bitl rishus. If all things are equal, we'd rather go with the Erev method. That would be our classic method of being Mater Otsoa L'Chotzer. Therefore, if the guy was available Erev Shabbos before he checked out for his vacation, and you could have set up that schiris then you set up an Eruv, and everything is perfect. And even if the guy shows up at the 12 o'clock train on Shabbos afternoon, it doesn't matter because you've already engaged him in a schiris arrangement, and the Eruv that you made on Erev Shabbos is absolutely reliable and valid. Now, it's really interesting because, you know, what would you say halachically in our thinking, what would be preferable? To have an Erev, to be Mater Otsa in the Chatzer, an Erev Chatzeros, or to obviate the need for an Erev Chatzeros by doing, let's say, a Bittul Rishus? Which of those two options are better? Well, on a technical level, you could say the Erev is better because through the Erev, all three Jews will be able to carry out to the Chatzah. Whereas through Bittul Rishus, it's only one person out of the three, that Jew to whom the others were Mevatel the Rishus, only he's allowed to carry out to the Chatzah. So that's on a pragmatic level. But I think even on a conceptual level, Erev might have a big plus. For example, we make a brach on an Erev. We would never make a brach on Bittul Rishus. Bittul Rishus obviates the need for an Erev, and so too Schiris, but it's not an Erev. So you and I might have said intuitively, why should we rely on an Erev if we can obviate the need for an Erev? But the answer is just the opposite. The Erev was organized and enacted by Chazal as a rabbinic enactment because they want you to use the Erev method. And if all things are equal, let's go with an Erev. And to such an extent, we're going to make a bracha asher kidshanu b'mitzvos v'tzivanu laniach eruv. Okay, now we're on the top of Daf Samachem and Aleph. On the top line, Tobei Nardoi. So the scholars in Nardoi, Tohu by Tohu is Milosh and Tmiya. In other words, they weren't so happy about what Rabbi Yochanan decided, that you can set up this schiris on Shabbos. Umi Amar Rabbi Yochanan Hachi. The Chachmei Nardoi are so up in arms, not just because they have a certain halacha that contradicts this statement of Rabbi Yochanan, this ruling of Rabbi Yochanan, but because Rabbi Yochanan himself, in a different context, offered a ruling which contradicts what Rabbi Yochanan is ruling here. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, asocher kima'arev dami. Rabbi Yochanan equates a socher ma'arev, which l'chora means that it's prohibited on Shabbos, just like there's no Erev on Shabbos, there's no Schiris on Shabbos. My love, shouldn't it mean Mama Arev Mibod Yom? The only last minute possibility for an Erev is before the onset of Shabbos, but it's got to be on Friday afternoon. Ivaf Socher Menonokri is also Mibod Yom. How do we reconcile the two statements of Rabbi Yochanan? How could Rabbi Yochanan, on the one hand, paskin that will enter into the Schiris on Shabbos, when Rabbi Yochanan himself, in a different context, equated Schiris with Erev, and there's no Erev on Shabbos, ipso facto there's no Schiris on Shabbos? So Gemara says, lo. We have to reinterpret Rabbi Yochanan's analogy, his equation between Schiris and Erev. What he had in mind was not a Chumrah to exclude Schiris on Shabbos, like an Erev is excluded on Shabbos, but rather to be Mekel. And not only to be Mekel once, not only to be Mekel twice, but to be Mekel thrice. He has three different kulos that apply to Schiris by virtue of its analogy to Erev. Number one, Mama Arev, Afil v'pachos mishava pruta, Af socher v'pachos mishava pruta. Suppose the guy agrees that if you'll pick up, pluck some, a rose from the rose garden and bring it to him, when he's celebrating his anniversary with his wife, he's willing to grant you schirus and rental agreement into the chatz. I mean, the rose is not even worth a pruta. I mean, there's roses all over the place. I mean, maybe I didn't give a good example. But that's called pachos mishava pruta. In schirus, you need, in order for schirus to be binding, you need a shava pruta. Now, what happens if I set up an eruv with some foodstuff that does not sell on the market even for a pruta? I remember once in Florida, having one of those moments. What's that fruit? I'm talking about new.
Pineapple.
What? Not pineapple. It's it's round like this, kind of oval shaped, and it's very sweet inside, like yellowish inside.
Cantaloupe.
What's it called?
Cantaloupe.
No. I'm not talking about a melon. I'm talking about a Boripria 8. But anyway.
Mango,
sorry. I just haven't heard the word mango in many years. Anyway, I remember I was walking down the street in Florida one summer, and there were mangoes on the ground. Edible mangoes, that the wind carried from here, there, and elsewhere. If you can use your imagination, I could set up an Erev with a mango because it's edible, even though I can't sell it on the market for a pruta. And the same thing applies in this schiris arrangement. We don't have to offer a formal kinyan, as we discussed earlier in the name of the Tosa Rosh, with the guy in order to achieve and clinch his schiris. I'll give him something that's worth less than a shava pruta. There are flowers all over the place. I'll pluck one flower. He wants a flower to give to his wife for anniversary. Number two, ma'arev afilu Schiro ulekito is af socher afilu schiro ulekito. Now, schiro ulekito, you remember, with different kinds of, like, sharecroppers or employees of the owner of the field. And there are certain cases where you pay him for the harvest season. That's called schiro lakito, means you pay him for a whole year's worth. And in the case of an eruv, is even with schiro lakito, you can set up an eruv. What does this mean? We said that if a guy lives in the chatzer, meaning he shares rights to use in the chatzer, you need schiris from the guy. What happens if the guy is not available, but schiro lakito are available? So this guy, we'll call him John Paul Jones, he's got workers who will get a certain percentage of the crop because they work the fields, whether it be for a harvest season, whether for the entire 12 months. And we can set up schirus with them. And you might ask, well, what do you mean schirus with them? They don't own the property. They're only employees. But we're going to use Eruv as our paradigm. What happens in a case of schiro lakito if, let's say, in ma'ariv im schiro lakito apol shel nachri hador b'chotz kashador nachri b'chotz yicholim la'ariv schirusiv v'yisr ha'yisrael mimkom liskar mimenu la'ariv im schiro lakito yicholim. See, the language here is a little bit ambiguous. I'm trying to figure it out. Just 1 second. Wait, this was a statement of Shmuel that we had way back when. Afilu Yisrael schiro lakito shel nachri nosem eruvo bedayo. I think what I said to you is correct. So again, the paradigm case is going to be eruv, and what's going to be the case of Eruv is Afilu. So the Eruv is valid even in Ma'arivim Schiro Lakito Hador B'chotzer. Hador B'chotzer. Just 1 second, Shika. So again, what's happening here? Yichol La'arivim Schiro Lakito. Oh, I think I got it. Oh, I think I got it. That in a case of Eruv, let's say you have, I have to just review the sugi of Shmuel, but if I remember correctly, according to Shmuel, if the guy who shares the chatzer with the Jew has Jewish employees, then you could set up an Erev chatzeres with the Jewish employees and completely circumvent the God. That's as far as Erev is concerned. And now we're going to talk about Schiro. Schirus. And let's say you want to set up schiris with a guy who is in the employment of the owner who's a guy. Again, in the first case of Eruv, the schiro and lakito are Jews who are working in the employment of the guy. And if that guy shares rights to the chatzer, we can set up an Eruv simply with the participation of the schiro or lakito of the guy. Again, the schiro lakito are Jews who are working for the guy. Now we have another case. Our second case is where the schiro and lakito are non-Jewish employees of the guy. And now it's not that we're trying to set up an eruv, we're trying to get up a schiris relationship in which the guy gives up his rights to the chatzer, allowing for the Jews to now make a an Erev Chatzeros, and the guy can be, so to speak, represented by his employees, his Schiro Ulakito. Schiro means he works for a year, and Lakito means he works just for the Lakito, just for the harvest season. Anyway, those Goyim who are in the employment of John Paul Jones, the owner of the field, they can agree to Schirus, allowing the other Jewish homeowners to use the chutz. We don't have to go back to the Goyim himself. And finally, number three, Mama Arev Bechamisha Yisraelim Sheshruim Bechotzer Achas Echad Ma'arev Al Yidei Kula. So if the Bnei Achotzer want to create an Eruv, and let's say there are two Chatzeros, and one spills into the other. So in one courtyard, you have five Jewish families that share that one courtyard. In the other courtyard, let's say you have one Jewish family. I'm just giving you an example. So the five families in one chatzer can be represented by one of the five to set up a chatzer with the exclusive number six, Jew number six in the second chatz. So that could combine the two chatzeres as if they were one chatz. But we don't need all five Jewish homeowners to participate in the Eruv. One could represent the other five. Is socher nami, chamisha shruim v'chatzer achas, echad socher al yidei kulam. If you have five Jewish homeowners that share a chatzer with a guy, then if one of those five would represent the other four in organizing a schirus arrangement with the guy, that would be enough so that all five would be allowed to carry from their homes into the chutz. Again, just to review, when Rabbi Yochanan equated schirus with ma'arev, with eruv, he didn't mean to say that l'chumra, just like there's no Erev on Shabbos, so too there's no Schiris on Shabbos. What he meant was that three different halachic kulos, leniencies that apply to Erev, will apply to Schiris. Okay. Now, what we said in the past was that when the Nochri shows up on Shabbos into his chatzer, the Erev is completely null and void, but the Jewish members of the chatzer are permitted to set up a schirus on his rishus on Shabbos itself. And then they'll be mevatel their rishus to one of them, and they'll be matir hotzah into the chatzer. And again, if not for the fact that they would be mevatel their reshus to that person, they would all be asur b'tiltul because there's no valid Erev and we cannot make an Erev on Shabbos. So now the Gemara wants to know about this concept called bitul reshus. Tahi ba Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Elazar had a tmiya, had a question. And we don't know exactly what his question was about. He didn't specify. And the Gemara now is trying to figure out what was bothering Rabbi Elazar. Amar Rabbi Zera, Maitahaya de Rabbi Elazar. What was Rabbi Elazar perplexed about? Amar Rabbi Sheshes, Gava Rabbi Ki Rabbi Zera lo yodem haitetoyve Rabbi Elazar? I can't believe, says Rabbi Sheshes, that someone as great as Rabbi Zera did not know. He did not understand what Rabbi Elazar was questioning. It's obvious. Kokashale Dishmuel Rabbe. He was bothered by this whole horah that we learned about until now because of Shmuel, a statement, a ruling of Shmuel, his Rebbe. Rabbi Elazar is a Talmud of Shmuel. Diomar Shmuel, Kol Mokom She'osrim. Whenever you have a place where those people who live in that place, Osrim Zel Zes Hotzolachotzer, Ve Ma'arvim, if they want to make an Eruv to be Mater Hotzah, if they forgot to make an Eruv, Mivatlim, then they could be mevatel their rishus one to the other, and we're going to allow this to go on. And the person to whom they were mevatel their rishus will be allowed to carry from his house into a chotzer. However, ma'arvim, if in this place they made an eruv one to the other, if in this place they could have made an eruv, then v'eina osrim, and had they made an eruv, they would not generate an iser of hotzo one to the other. Osrim, v'ein ma'arvin, is ein mevatel. In other words, bittul rishus is not effective unless there are two conditions that are met. That, number one, without the bittul rishus, there would be an iser hotzah, and number two, without bittul rishus, there could have been an eruv that would have been effective. Okay, the Gemara now is going to go into detail to clarify Shmuel, and then from that we'll see how Shmuel will reject the original horah that we had beforehand about the bittul rishus on Shabbos in the event that the guy shows up in the middle of Shabbos. So first we start with the reish of Shmuel. Shmuel made a statement, kol makom she'osrim uma'arvim mevatlim. And the Gemara clarifies that kigon shtei chatzeros zu lifnim mizu. Right, so you have a rishus rabin that goes into an outer chatzer, and then from that outer chatzer you have an entranceway into an inner chatzer. And the members of the chatzer hapnimis osrim hotza al bnei hachatzer hachitzona, because the bnei chatz apnimis have no way of getting out into rishus harabim unless they go through the chatz achitzona. So they have the rights as passers through, you know, the pass-by rights. And they have those rights in the outer chatzer. And therefore, they can set up an eruv with the bnei chatz achitzona. And if they forgot to create that eruv, then they could give up on their rights of drisas regel, that's called bittul rishus, and therefore the bnei achotzer achitzona will be allowed to carry from their houses into the chotzer, and that's called bittul rishus. Again, the bittul rishus, according to Rabbi Yochanan, is conditional on the fact that the pnimis would generate an iser on the chitzona because they have rights of passing by through the chitzona, and those that iser could be circumvented by an eruv. Had they made an eruv, if they forgot an eruv, then they'll rely on bittul rishus. Now we get to the sefer of Shmuel, and he said that ma'arvin v'ein osrim ein mevatlim kigon shtei chatzeres apsuchos kol achas lemavui ol rishus harabim. So you have two different chatzeros. Each one opens up to an alleyway or spills into rishus harabim. Upasach echad beinehem. Upesach echad beinehem. And there's one opening between these two chatzeros. So now they can be ma'ariv together. They can be mater otzo from one chatzer to the other. But neither one has drisas regel rights to pass through the other one. Kol achas yicholu lotzeis l'rishus harabim b'lo lavar derech havertus. You don't have to go through the other one's chotzer to get out to rishus harabim. You have access to rishus harabim. And therefore, enom osros zelzeh, because we said that in the case of the pnimis, it generates an iser on the chitzona because of the drisas, the schus drisas regel. Here there are two separate chatzeros that both have respectively access to rishus harabim, and there's no drisas regel from one to the other. And therefore, einan osros zu al zu. And Kevin Shekane, Einon Yicholos Lahatir Sotzod Bidem Al Yidei She Tevatel Achas Es Rishus Al Chaverta. Here Shmuel says, Bittul Rishus will not operate because Einon Mosros Zu Al Zu. So Bittul Rishus only operates when there's one package deal where the Chatza Pnimis will generate an Iser on the Chatza Chitzona, but here they're two separate Chatzeros. And Osum the Eima Arvin. Alright, that will have to pick up tomorrow. Okay, so we're in the middle of a sugya, but B'li Neder will be able to finish it tomorrow. So let's just make a note. We're on the bottom of Samach Vav Omid Aleph. And we are up to Osrin V'ein Ma'arvin. Okay. So let me wish you a very good day.